campus, a very warm welcome wherever you come from. It's so good to see you all. And I pray that the Lord has blessed you this past week with blessings unnumbered. Yes, if you count them, they are more than can be numbered. Now this morning, yes, please all find your seats. You know, we have some very good seats in the front. But people are all struggling for places upstairs and at the back. We must start a movement to encourage people to use these seats from next week. All right. This morning, our thoughts are to be focused on the topic of the Christian and his family. All of us come from a family. You have yours, I have mine. That institution, not made by man, mind you, although we, each one, has to strive and establish and build up our own families in our own ways. Yet, please remember, the family is not a human invention, but God did make it for us. And it is so precious. If I were to ask you, regard the family as a commodity or as a parcel you're going to dispatch by post, sending it somewhere, and you have to put a label on it, what word would you choose? Can you give it a thought for just 10, 20 seconds? What word do you think is appropriate to label this very precious commodity? Any volunteers? I know you all are very shy. You don't say anything. So I got to say it for you. So I can suggest to you, if you go to the airport and you're about to take off, the person at the counter will put a very large label called, what is it? Fragile. Right? Fragile. Every time. Even though it's only books, they put fragile. Now I want to suggest to you that as we think of this word called family, it is very precious. And because God made it for our blessing, for our benefit, and for the benefit of the whole world, the adversary does not like it. And therefore it is under attack from day one till now. Oh, how important it is for us to realize, to acknowledge, and to recognize family is the most precious gift for our human life on this planet Earth, that we all have families. Fragile, yes. Satan is always out there waiting to attack the family. So much so that society today at large has lost the value of family. In countries, maybe not far from here, adults are spending their time looking after their own interests. So much so the home is neglected and children are left to be taken care of by the television, by computers and other devices. So I say the family in many places is breaking up, if not broken already, fragile. Now, for our meditation and instruction, I brought you four OHPs. You like OHPs, don't you? Please turn to God's Word in Genesis so that we understand the origin of family. It's so important because when you do, you will appreciate what family means and then it will safeguard your family and perhaps you are going to review the way you handle your family, the way you nurture your children, the way you behave yourself
as a member of God's family.
Two verses are put up there, and that is important. You know how family began, and the purpose of family, so that you all have a better attitude towards family. Verse 27 of Genesis chapter 1. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful and multiply. Just pause there. Here there is a great divide from the Christian understanding of family and the world's understanding of family. Very, very radically different. For the average person on the street today, man came by evolution. And therefore, there is no God over the family. There is no authority above us. And each man, therefore, becomes a law unto himself. And there, the family system breaks down. And that's why there is all these sadness, breakup, and total reversal of the order of family that we see everywhere, coming to Singapore too.
Right. Verse 27.
God made us for a purpose, made us in his image. His image is not physical, please understand. But it is the image of God, one who is endowed with a thinking mind, able to reason and to receive from God his message. And this is most important for us to understand. God has made us so that we are able to be God-conscious and to understand the Word of God, the message for all of us in this book. Because, why? You are made in his image. I am made in the image. And then he made male and female, and then said, be fruitful and multiply. Remember when these words were first uttered, there were just two inhabitants on planet Earth, just two. Man then was seen by God to be in need. We see this in chapter 2. Please see. Verse 18. The Lord God says, it is not good. Man should be alone. I'll make him a help meet for him. You ask the evolutionists, hey, where did woman come from? They have nothing to say. Please understand, therein is the marriage bond and the relationship between husband and wife shown very clearly. In the beginning, man. Then out of man, God made woman and brought woman to man. And said, now, this is your helper. How wonderful. When we understand this, young people, looking for a life mate, this is a vital, fundamental, basic truth you ought to know. It is God who made the mate for you. And therefore, there must not be that haste and hurry. As long as there is physical attraction, that's it. And carry on as it is done today. That ought not so to be. Never, never, never. Because God has a purpose and a plan. Right? Number two, God has a plan. Every believing young person ought to begin life thinking of this. I have been saved from my sins to be a child of God. Therefore, I belong to God.
Therefore, I know God not only had a plan to save me, but He has a plan to order my life for me. This is a plan. Please understand, we don't plan ourselves. So, I say all of us here, married, unmarried, pray that God will make you appreciative, understanding. You have a family. You have a home. No place like home. So important to have a happy home, right? Of course. When the home is dislocated because of disagreement, because of complications, because of conflict, life is no longer worth living to the full. And then there will be problems. Look and remember this. Number two, God has a plan. That out of this plan, there can come a happy family. But we must understand it first and say, Lord, help me to submit to you. Even as Adam was put under divine anesthesia, total, he has gone to sleep. Then God did his great work and produced, created woman. Therein is a very important fundamental truth that God made man first, woman followed. Does that suggest something to you? Priority and precedence is man, then woman. It's not the other way around. Neither is it equal. Now, we do not want to depreciate any lady here, especially our wives. Very important. But this is the order that God made for a particular purpose. Husbands, love your wife because they are the weaker vessel. And you being the stronger one, show that love. Then, wives, submit to the husband. In this way, there is harmony and peace. Why? Answer. This is the divine plan. When you understand it, and both husband and wife begin to play their role correctly, there is harmony, peace, and joy in the home. Right? This is family. That's what we are talking about. So I want to conclude this, OHP, with this. Please understand, we are not free agents in our families. All of us are under holy order. God above is very interested, very concerned, watching over every family. But we must be conscious, and we must give Him that due honor and allow God to lead your family the way it ought to be, and not we ourselves. So that is the first OHP. God has a holy order, and that is what I learned from SMS. For you. All right, I'm learning. My dear friends, God is the creator. Please do not ever forget, none of us came from any kind of animal. None of us did. All of us are made in God's image. And all of us came from an ancestor, father, mother. No one came any other way. So, when you understand that, every day you thank God. Do you? You see, the family that remembers God and keeps on thanking God, acknowledging Him, submitting to Him, that is the first step to the happy home and the complete family. You cannot do any other how, any other way. Anyhow will do. I say anyhow will not do. Why? Because you are made. Because God made you. And God not only made, God has a plan, and God cares, and He continues to care for you. When you realize that, then all is peace. Number two, I have said this, I think, enough. Man must lead, but not just in social things. I say man must lead as the leader before God. I would say pastor before God. You're pastor to your family. And I do believe it is good and important, necessary. We stress this and perhaps have more such times of seminars to impress on all our men folk. God has made you to be pastor of your own family. Does that mean you all go to FEBC right away? I say answer is no. But you got to take your book of the Bible and see what God wants you to do and begin to assume that leadership for your home. How many of you are doing it? I do not know. But I say if you are not doing it, please consider. This is your God-given role. You say, don't know how. My answer to that is, you never got married until you got married. Did you say, I don't know how, so I don't get married? Nobody says that. So everybody is able to get married. I say you need no greater intelligence and ability in becoming pastor to your family than being married. Because to get married is a very complicated business. You got to think, plan, HDB house, all kinds of things. So many things to think about. You were able? True? Of course. Then it comes to an evening worship of 15 minutes where you can open the Word of God and say to your wife and children, let's bow together to worship our God Creator. You say, I don't know how. I say, you ought to know. So this is the point I want to make. We can go into detail in this another time. Number three, how does the family function? Children, obey your father and mother. And God is so kind, He gave us a commandment. Honor father and mother is so sadly neglected. Not the children's fault, you know. Most of the time, it is the parents' fault because they don't know the order of things. And in this modern culture, many parents abdicate their position. They don't understand they have authority over children. So very soon, it becomes, parents, honor your children. And they are so frightened of children. In some ways, you can't blame them because children know so much today. Children can go to the computer and the father says, oh, what's happened? So how can you discipline their children who know so much more than you? I say, dear friends, it's time, parents, take the initiative. Gently, lovingly, spiritually, speak to them. Assert your authority in the home. Why? Because simply God gave it to you. It is your duty to your family, your responsibility to God. So I want to leave this gently to all children. Number four, then we have a godly family unit. Please, you know, parents know how to spend all the time, energy, resources, money for the sake of children's education, not just education, intramural, extramural, supernumerary, everything, sending them to tuition the whole day. When it comes to spiritual instruction, nothing. Absolutely nothing. What do? Oh, before they sleep, we pray. And that's about all. But some don't even do that. I say there is a need today for us all to review ourselves. What are we doing for the family of God? Please remember, God calls us out, a people unto himself, a peculiar people, a special people. Why? In order to prepare us for the heavenly home. We are in the world, but not of the world, and we therefore must not go the way of the world and say, anyhow we'll do. Just live, like, as long as my children do well in school, get the correct points, goes to tertiary studies, and so on and so forth. Success, success. Everybody's happy. I say, failure, failure. Everybody has failed. Who has forgotten God? So please understand, the godly family unit is the most blessed thing you can have in this earthly life. And when there is the godly unit, families who are willing to submit themselves to the law of God, the society is stable. Now you say, is that so? There are so few Christians, and yet society is stable. What do you say to that? Please understand, we are like leaven. We are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We are leaven. You don't put in a cake. How much leaven do you put? A teaspoonful for one cake. We are the leaven. In order to make the cake palatable, we are here for that purpose. And never forget, we must take our place in society and live as Christians. The family unit must live as Christians. How do you do that? Ask your question. Do your neighbors know you're Christians? Are you on good terms with your neighbors? Do you make friends with them for the sake of opening a way for you to talk to them about Jesus Christ and their salvation? Do you do that? Is that your responsibility? Or what? Or whose? So please, we must practice practical Christianity. If you know the Savior, make him known as a family, that others will say, huh, in this row of houses or in this HDB apartments, we know there are certain Christian families because they're friendly and their children are well behaved. They always greet us happily, cheerfully, and we hear them sing the songs of heaven, and they speak the words of heaven so kindly. Is there such a witness as a Christian family? Do you make your impact in your own locality, your own neighborhood? Please, don't think of Thailand, Borneo, Jordan, Saipan, China. Oh, that's missions. I say missions is right where you are. Right where you are. Begin today and live out your Christian family life, that others seeing will give glory to God. And begin to inquire. Oh, there's something different, something good about that family. Whose family? Your family. My family.
Now this is very direct question. Training of children. You ask, send around a questionnaire. Write down, whose business is it? Most people will say, the church. Not my business. Some say, school. I said, that is disaster. You leave to the school to teach your children about God, you come back with atheism and with all kinds of evolutionary theory. So I want you to think, do you have a program? Do you have a certain order, a priority in all that you do, you impart to the children? Everybody is so concerned that you do well in every subject, in English, in mathematics, in art, in A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You all good. Nobody needs to teach you that. How about concern for children's
knowledge of the Word of God. This, I say, is the real test of your Christian fatherhood, motherhood. We had this in our home all the days when the children were with us. Yes. Never a night passes by that we do not gather them together, and we take 15 to 20 minutes singing the choruses that are all in your hymn books here, praying together, reciting the Word of God, and all of us reading the Word of God. And yet, today, because of the forces of the world, not all my children are with the Lord here. Yes. One is attending regular. One is in a place where there is no church. So good excuse, God. Don't go to church because there's no church. And the third one is not doing anything for the Lord. What a sadness in the hearts of the parents. True? What do we do? At this stage, when they are about 50 years old, what do you do? Pray, speak to them when their ears are attuned to being spoken to. This is the problem. Despite all that we have done, this is the state of affairs. And then what do you do? I say, Lord, have mercy. I say this in order for you all, maybe, to learn from others' mistakes. What mistakes? I don't really know, because we did all that the books told us to do. All that we knew to do, we did. And yet you get this. So there is no guarantee. Then you say, since there's no guarantee, since you did it all and you don't get the results required, forget it. We do nothing. My dear friends, that is the suggestion of Satan, not the work of God. Not the Word of God. We do it. The results are up to God, for God to bless or not to bless. But we never know, because there is still the future, and you never know what God will do for my children. Yes? One is faithful, one is half faithful, one is doing nothing. So, what do we do? Church or home? Now we will conclude with a few references to the Word of God. Please turn to Psalm 100, a beautiful psalm for parents. Let's all read it together to reinforce our conviction that the family is the God-given institution. Together, Psalm 100, a psalm of praise. Verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. I say, begin today. Begin tonight to gather your children, your family. How long does it take? I put all this in the Every Home Sings in the very front. Into other hymn books also, in revival hymns and choruses also there, how to conduct family worship. Please pray, read it, and practice it. Proverbs 22:6. All right, let's read it again, all together. Proverbs 22, verse 6. You found it? Together, everybody read it, please. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
God's word is faithful. So I keep praying. I keep agonizing before God's throne. Every day we pray. One day I believe God will answer. Yes. And there will be result. Deuteronomy 6. Now this one is excellent. Absolutely amazing. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We shall read together verses 6 and 7. Right? Are you ready? Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 and 7, together. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Amen. Right? Now the last is in the New Testament, 2 Timothy, chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. Right, let's all read together. Everybody reading, please. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. And finally, a word of advice. Do it now, dear friends. Don't wait. Every day you delay is a day lost. Every day you do for the Lord is a day gained. Neglect it. Today, you live to regret it. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gift of families and the joys of Christian homes. O Heavenly Father, may Your Holy Spirit teach us how we ought to treasure our families. For Thou hast called us out of darkness into Thy marvelous light. And may this light shine through us to others. Bless Thy people here today, everyone who names the name of Christ, to go and be witnesses in their homes and their families, be the light of that neighborhood. This is our prayer through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.